Seeing none, we'll move on to agenda item number three. Report and possible discussion on investment officers report for first quarter fiscal year 2016 by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
And at this time, I also bring another standard report, which is basically taking a look at our investment portfolio. The first is the book value trend. And as you can see, between the last quarter and this quarter, we had a $12 million increase in our investments. We're up to $91 million. And that $12 million is due primarily to the first quarter, where we collect most of our water supply contracts. The next is just kind of taking a look at the investment blocks. And you can see 6 months or greater is where we have most of our CDs invested. And that is to try to get the highest rate of return we can on the CDs. Next is our portfolio performance. We ended up at 66 basis points for the quarter, and that is much higher than the Texas pool by 50 basis points, as well as Treasuries is about 40 basis points. Our investments will probably improve now that the Fed has raised their rates by 25 basis points, but that'll take time because you remember our CDs are invested in long-term on 50%, so we will start seeing an increase in income. But the increases in the high rates that we get on it can only be made possible by our consultants, and that is Valley View. And I also have Susan Anderson here to give us our long-range market outlook. Susan?
Good morning. I'm Susan Anderson with Valley View Consulting. Welcome to the new folks. I'll kind of walk through some of these graphs so that everybody's on the same page of what they're demonstrating. The information that I'm showing comes from the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. Twice a year, they go out and compile a survey of economists worldwide, actually, to figure out what the projections are and the forecasts are for the economy and various components of the economy. They do this at the end of May and at the end of November. So just keep that in mind. The last time this was accomplished was the end of November, and we were in a totally different world. So we'll talk a little bit about the ongoing implications. But the question is the economy really improving? Or are we looking towards a decline in the economy in the near term? I would say that on the biggest scale, the economy in the U.S. is improving, but we seem to be in two completely different universes nowadays. We've got the U.S. economy that has been chugging forward slowly, but at least it's had some growth, while the rest of the world seems to be deteriorating or having a real struggle getting their economies going. So the question remains is how long can the U.S. remain an island unto itself before all of these other factors start to weigh in? And I think we're already starting to see some of that with what's been going on more recently in the economy. We've had housing, employment, and production. We've had some improvements. The Fed targets have been met. The Fed is the Federal Open Markets Committee, essentially the central bank for the U.S. They set targets, and we have been close to some of the employment. We have been the meeting the employment targets. It's some of the other targets that have been a little still out of reach of the Fed, the inflation target being the main one. As you may have heard, the Fed did finally raise the Fed funds target range. The Fed funds rate is the short-term rate that the banks have advantage of, but the problem is that all shorter-term products, securities, and the like are related, their rate, to the Fed funds rate. So that is the main pressure that we've been feeling in your portfolio is the low range of the Fed fund target rate, which has been from 0 to 25 basis points. In December, right after all of these surveys were taken, the Fed funds rate was raised to a range of 25 to 50 basis points. And the hopes at that point, before the Chinese situation started deteriorating, was that we would start to see the Fed make those same range moves every other meeting, which would be every other month. with all of the deterioration that we're seeing globally, that's likely to become a 3 to 6 month change, if even that quickly. So the China situation has started to weigh on our markets. They're a big consumer of our products, and oil prices, and we'll talk a little bit about what's been going on there. But the last time the Fed met in December, they were seeing improvement. They meet again this week, so it'll be interesting to see what their assessment is at the end of that meeting this week. On these graphs, I'll explain each of them as we get into it. This, again, is from the survey. On the projected side, which is the lighter blue part of the graph, the darker blue part of the graph are those numbers that have actually been inked. We actually know what the outcome was. You'll see the huge gyration in early 2015. A year ago, we were under snow, under ice for a large portion of the U.S., you know, kind of deja vu all over again right now. But the difference was back then is it had been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks, as opposed to just a one weekend or week effect. So you saw the production of GDP significantly lower. We just weren't able to get to work to produce. That reversed itself in the second quarter, and the average of those two is right on target of about 2.2%. We did slow down a little bit from that 2.2% average in the third quarter. We have now seen that in the GDP for this quarter, it is likely to be lower when we start to see the fourth quarter being finally inked. But you can see that at least in November, there was a lot of optimism that GDP was not going to be full speed ahead, but at least it was going to have some improvement. We'll see how the numbers change when we start to get the real results. Now these stacked graphs, you'll see a few of these. Again, I mentioned that semi-annual period this survey is taken. We've taken the survey back to what they were looking at as of November of 2013, so 2 year look back, and you can see how each time they met, it was improving as you got through 2014. But as the survey was taken subsequent to that, there was a little bit more reality in the system that things were perhaps not going to be as full speed ahead as they have been. And all the way out to 2018, they're looking at GDP of only about 2.8%, which is still respectable, but perhaps not as boisterous as what economists were feeling earlier on. Employment is where we've seen a lot of improvement. Looking back, we had a 5.5% unemployment rate in early 2015. The Fed target was a little vague from our point of view. They never came right out to say what their target was on unemployment, but we feel like that target has been met and perhaps exceeded. We've been stuck at about 5% unemployment, which is really good, but you can see that projections are going to take it down to 4.7% by the end of this year, as long as some of these events that I've talked about and pressures that I've talked about don't start impacting. Now, one thing I can tell you is that since December, in January, we've started to see a lot of an uptick of unemployment benefits being requested. That could be because of the temporary seasonal employment of December and the holiday period, but we're going to need to dig down into those reports when the unemployment number comes out to see if it's more widespread than just the seasonal part of the economy. Again, the look back, you can see that we have done a whole lot better than what the 2013 panel of survey was expecting. So the employment rate has really been on a good trend and hopefully will continue. Now, inflation, on the other hand, has been a little bit more elusive. In this graph, you will see the blue shaded are what we call the CPI actual, the Consumer Price Index, which measures the price of everything in the system. That, as opposed to the core, which takes that CPI number and strips out food and energy because they're very volatile part of the economy. And you can see that the actual dark blue for the first two periods was higher than the core. Remember, the core is oil prices. You can see, however, that when you got to the third quarter of 2015, that the oil is having a really placing a lot of pressure on the prices as a whole, because when you strip that out, the core CPI is trending higher, but it's those oil prices that are causing the pressure downward. Back when this was taken, the 2015 estimate for CPI was about 0.8%. It came in at 0.7%, a little bit weaker than was expected. However, on the actual, this was showing about a 1.8. It actually came in at 2.1. So again, that oil pressure is having, or oil prices are having a large amount of pressure on the prices. When the next survey is taken, you're likely going to see a much different distribution because of the impact of oil prices, and then it'll be a good indicator of how long these survey participants believe that the oil price pressure is going to be in the marketplace. Again, looking back to where the survey anticipated in the past as opposed to where it is in the current time, you can see that we've had some improvement in what they think the CPI forecast will be. Again, I think that this will be tapered off a bit when the next survey comes out. Okay, this is the part of what our angst has been all about. You've seen this played through in the stock market, this coupled with the China situation. Back in 2011-12, we had $100 a barrel oil prices. And that has now, as of late Friday, last week we dipped down below 29. We're back up to about 31, 32. That has a dramatic impact, can be positive and can be negative, depending on what side of the fence you're on. For those industries that are dependent on prices of oil, like transportation, some of the corporations, when prices go down, their cost of production goes down, so that can be good. It can be good for consumers as well. What it's not good for are a lot of the economies that are very dependent, like some of our global partners that are very dependent on the price of oil. It hurts our corporations that are oil companies. It hurts a lot of financial institutions that have lent money based on that industry. When you get right down to it, though, it's about 3% of our overall GDP. It's not a whole lot. At the peak 2014, when we were all ramped up and everybody was out drilling new wells, the whole industry only employed about 550,000 people nationwide. When you compare that to the fact that we've been growing average 282,000 jobs per month, It's just a drop in the bucket, but there's a psychological impact of it, and more importantly, there's a global impact of it in our trading partners. So, how will this impact your portfolio? China still remains the wild card. Obviously, gas prices will impact the inflation outlook. Domestic job creation, I think for the most part, we're still going to see growth, maybe not as robust as we've seen in the recent past. The domestic housing market is still doing well. Part of the problem with the domestic housing market is there's just not enough supply out there. You can't sell homes if they're not on the market. And when we look down and dig into the housing numbers, most of it has to do with there's just not enough homes out there to sell. So that's been an ongoing problem with the housing market. Now, this is the graph that should be more meaningful to you. This portfolio can't participate in the oil markets. It can't participate in the stock markets. What we can participate in is the very short-term bond agency CD markets. You can see this goes back a year. Look back at the yield curve. You participate in the two-year mostly and under. So a year ago, that red line showed that rates were quite a bit lower than they are now, at the end of this report, the blue line. I can tell you, though, that since the end of December, when this was created, that blue line is now on the short end. It's between the green and the red line, so you've had some deterioration. You've had a lot more deterioration on the 10-year. Blue line now would be beneath both of those rates that were shown earlier. The pressure, David mentioned that rates are looking like they're going up. I can tell you that as long as this global crisis continues, there's a flight to quality. A lot of investors that would normally be participating in the foreign markets, the stock markets, are taking their money out of that, and they're going into that very sector that you invest in because it's safe. And when you've got that much supply coming in, it puts downward pressure on interest rates. So it's going to be a struggle to kind of tread water, at least for the short term, until all of this kind of reverses itself. Any questions? Okay, thank you.